Talking about impossible things, some people might find it very hard to believe that the federal government in its recent budget cut funding to research into how Australia can adapt to climate change. Well, here to tell us all about it is Tayana O'Donnell, who's a research fellow at the University of Canberra. Good morning, Tayana.
Good morning, Ian.
For listeners who may not be aware, could you tell us about the National Climate Change Adaption Research Facility and what's happened to it in the last budget?
Yes, absolutely. So the National Climate Change Adaptation Research Facility is located at the Griffith University in Queensland. And in 2008, they received federal funding to establish excellence in research looking at all aspects of climate adaptation and climate mitigation in an Australian context. And since that time, they've done some excellent work to progress thinking and action in that space.
And the cuts that have been announced, I mean, literally seem to make it almost impossible. I mean, it's dwindled down to a few hundred thousand dollars.
That's correct, and it is quite disappointing for not just for the research community, but for industry, the private sector, and for local communities. And the main reason for that is that the work that NCAF do is to establish partnerships between those groups to implement, not only implement adaptation policy, but to monitor and evaluate its effectiveness over time. And its reduction in funding from $50 million in 2008 now down to $600,000 spread between NCAF and CSIRO really is evidence that this will be quite difficult for NCAF to do. And there's no money after 2018. So there's $600,000 now between now and July 2018, and then it's zero.
And this comes at a time when the CSIRO itself, a fellow organisation, has been cut and streamlined and had attacks on its research into the effects of climate change as well.
Yes, there is a lot of streamlining going on in terms of federal funding into climate change adaptation and mitigation. Your listeners may or may not be aware that there has recently been a federal government review on climate change policies on which submissions have just closed. And they've opened another review in looking at the built environment and infrastructure and risks associated with that. So while NCAF has had a reduction in its funding and CSIRO has been streamlined, there is some movement at the federal level. It's not the level of leadership that we should be seeing, in my view, from our federal government, given the exponential increase in climate risks that we're seeing and the cost associated with natural disasters. But there is potential for opportunity around these reviews that are going on at the moment.
Is it a matter really of saving money, or is it a lack of sort of commitment to the actual science into climate change, or the actual fact that climate change is happening? Is there a lack of belief in that, do you think, in the government, or is it just more base than that?
I don't see any evidence that there's a lack of belief in climate change science, and I think anyone in the global community who would hold such a belief would struggle in 2017. The evidence is overwhelming, and I think for the most part discourse has moved beyond that. Now, a discussion has moved beyond beliefs in climate science. How governments and others, industry and the private sector and others, go about responding to it and the uncertainty associated with some of the risks over long-term time horizons, as opposed to short-term impacts like natural disasters, remains difficult. You know, creating a policy setting that addresses all of those facets to achieve positive outcomes is challenging, but that doesn't mean that there should not be leadership at the federal level. There absolutely has to be federal government leadership in both climate adaptation and mitigation for certainty in the business community, for certainty for local communities and local government, and to progress our great nation.
Well, the reason I ask that question is because, I mean, ignorance is you know, not acceptable, really, in terms of, you know, public leadership. However, if someone was ignorant of something or didn't believe in a certain thing, like such as climate change, you might understand why they might cut funding to it. But if someone actually is aware of it but then chooses not to, you know, fund something that's actually going to affect all of us, and it's undeniable, even if we do, you know, cut greenhouse emissions down to the accords, down to the levels that were agreed in Paris, we're still going to have at least a 2 degree rise within a number of decades. So that's almost willful irresponsibility to not fund how we adapt to these changes.
It's certainly very disappointing that there has been no continued funding for climate adaptation in the current budget. NCAF was an excellent, and still is, still exists, and it's an excellent vehicle, not only to produce research and information to inform how societies can adapt to climate change, but also developing practical tools that assist decision makers at all levels of government and in the private sector to implement adaptation plans and to monitor their effectiveness. A recent example that NCAF have been working on in that space is a tool called Coast Adapt, and local government and others can go to the Coast Adapt website, put in a search term or a challenge or an opportunity even that they want more information on for their community, and they can then be met with a detailed list of information put together by experts in the public and private sectors for their use to inform how they're going to adapt to climate change. And there are a number of different tools out there, like Coast Adapt, that can be used. But without a coherent framework and coherent leadership from the national level, it's very difficult to achieve anything other than incremental change. And as you mentioned, you know, we're already seeing communities affected by climate change. Those effects will continue into the future. There are delays in meeting emissions targets, and some might say that those emissions targets are quite low anyway. And so in that context, projected impacts will become more serious, and adaptation and the opportunity for combined adaptation and mitigation initiatives will only become more important and more urgent as time goes on.
Do you think the task to get a change in policy is made harder when in recent days, the United States, or the government, the federal government of the United States, announced that it was withdrawing from the Paris Agreement?
My view is that I think the business community in particular and the private sector aren't particularly bothered by Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Accord. Of course, for global risk and community perception around how important climate change and responding to climate change is, it was symbolic and certainly detrimental to those global efforts. But if you follow the aftermath of the decision of Trump's government to withdraw from the Paris Accord, there has been a strong rallying by countries such as China, Paris, Germany, and others to remain, and by the private sector in coming up publicly and saying this was a terrible decision and the US should not have withdrawn. But things are happening anyway. Business is progressing to a low carbon economy anyway, and so are most state level, so the subnational level of government, as well as leadership from countries like those I mentioned, are progressing anyway.
Yeah, you mentioned business factoring certain things in, and business likes nothing more than certainty. And back when the carbon price, there was a price on carbon in Australia, and there were dire predictions that the business world would fall over. And they simply factored it in long term. They knew it was coming. It's something that's a fact of life in some other countries. And as long as it was there, and it was that they knew about it, they weren't actually particularly fussed about it. And I could imagine that something like this decision to take away funding, which might actually expose them to a greater risk, would unsettle them.
Yes, so I've not asked that question directly myself of people I know in the sector, but certainly the logic of that argument rings true. Business does like certainty, and they need certainty to be able to invest in the way that they want to invest, both in the short-term and long-term projections. And so the decision to withdraw adaptation funding from NCAF leaves some sectors, particularly the insurance sector, perhaps quite vulnerable or at least reassessing their risk and how they price their products and how they will go about insuring particular risks and disasters around Australia, and that's an important issue There are places where insurance premiums are quite high and simply unaffordable for most people, and in some areas, even a withdrawal of certain products from the from the market. And so it's critical that the government, again, displays leadership. Climate risks and natural disaster impacts are increasing, exponentially increasing, and at the same time we're seeing this opposite lineal approach to funding and support for climate adaptation.
So what's the way forward for climate change adaptation researcher then in Australia?
That's an excellent question. Certainly at the subnational level, we're seeing some really excellent work being done by governments such as the ACT government in Victoria and in Queensland, which is fantastic to see, and that leadership is important from the state governments there, particularly for local governments in developing their adaptation plans. But what would be most useful is for the federal government to adopt and put in place and implement a comprehensive, cohesive mitigation and adaptation suite of policies that respond to the urgent need to integrate risk across a number of portfolios and to develop strategies to ensure that the costs of these risks will not be as high as they could be if we simply sit back and ignore them.